Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. Now they fold the flag and attach a silver star, while the grieving mother leans against his arm. Then he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. He says no one who knew him was surprised he died that way. He always lived for Jesus. Oh, he used to always say, somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. And I don't want to waste a moment of the times that I have left. With every breath I'm giving, God help me not forget. God help me not forget. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I could not save myself. I cannot live the way I live. Cause every day's a gift to me because every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me.
At my feet, for the first time I could see. prison I was in, like a living nightmare burning from within. I can hear the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. See, once I've tasted freedom, then the walls can bind no more. Since mercy gave me wings to fly like an eagle, I can soar. This is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know that I am forgiven. This is how it feels to be free. To see that life can be more than I imagine.
This is how it feels to be free.
This is how it feels to be free.
Somewhere there's a prison where the chains still bind. If not for the grace of God, those walls could still be mine. So for all the captives I say, this is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know.
During Thanksgiving time in our service, special service, we do one-line testimonies. I thank the Lord for. But I wonder this morning, right before we look into the Word, who would want to just jump up and with one sentence say, "He set me free from," and let us know. Just stand up and speak it loudly. Anywhere in the building, just stand. He set me free from. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and do it. Stand and say the word. He set me free. Addiction, hallelujah. From yourself, hallelujah. Someone else.
From sin.
From sin, hallelujah. From atheism, praise God. Someone else. He set me free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, drugs, amen.
Hypocrisy.
Praise God.
Depression.
Anyone else?
Grief.
Smoking, yes. Anyone else? From lust. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Who can do that but Jesus? Who can do that but Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, He is here. Praise God. Turn in your scripture and stand. Luke chapter 4. Praise God. Again, read it, verse 17. And there was delivered unto Jesus the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit," or Satan, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I want to point out the word deliverance, the word liberty, they're the same word, to preach liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all eyes, or the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. Hallelujah. What would happen this morning right now if every eye of every heart was fastened on him? Hallelujah. "And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." I want to preach this morning on the liberator. The liberator. Hallelujah. Jesus, since he was the only one that could set men free, set the burdened and the battered free, since he was the only one that could do it, he came and he did it. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the liberator today? Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we give thanks to you. Lord, liberate somebody in this service. Set them free. Set them free. Deliver them. Break off the bondage of their heart and their lives. May they leave here a free individual, a free person. Open the prison doors. Strike off the shackles, O Lord. Bring out of bondage, O Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. In the movies this summer, we're hearing about over and over Superman and the Lone Ranger. Last winter, it was Batman. Today, there's such a fascination and obsession with action heroes and superheroes. Amen. I heard that the first time there was a wave of interest in superheroes and action heroes was back in the last century in the Depression. Things were so bad. People were looking for some relief, something to hope and believe in. And so that's when the superhero comic books have come out. And no doubt, because things are so rough in our society and economy today, there has been a return of obsession and fascination with action heroes and superheroes. An action hero is a main character that pursues a course of action and adventure. Action hero. It's all about action. A superhero is one with an extraordinary or a supernatural power that dedicates, a person that dedicates that power to the helping and the protection of the public. But whether action hero or superhero, in either case, each is on a mission to use their abilities to accomplish a good. They're on a mission. Hallelujah. I want to preach this morning, if there were ever an action hero, it is Jesus. I said an action hero. You read through the Gospels, everywhere he went, something was taking place. He was doing something. He was raising the lame to walk. He was opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears. He was dividing fish and bread. He was walking on winds and waves. Everywhere is action. They tried to stop the action. I said they tried to stop the action. They put him in a tomb, but the action took place, and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if there were ever an action hero, it is Jesus. If there were ever a superhero in the sense of having supernatural powers, it is Jesus. Superman's power's not real. Jesus' supernatural power is real. If there were ever one with supernatural power, Jesus has that. I tell you, those disciples were full of fear. The waves were high. The winds were blowing hard.
hard. Oh, but Jesus came walking and he spoke to wind and wave and said, peace be still. And the disciples looked at one another and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the wave obey? We've never seen it like this. Why? He had supernatural power. Hallelujah. But you see also, if there were ever one with a mission, it was Jesus. He said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Here he read the scripture, applied it to himself, and said, I am come to set the captive free. And he didn't just mean 2,000 years ago. He meant on a June 30th, 2013. He means I have come to set you free. Hallelujah. He was on a mission. All of this action, all of this supernatural power of this ultimate action figure, this ultimate superhero, all of that power is directed at setting men free. He wrote up that scroll, having just read, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised, them that are battered, them that are abused, them that are betrayed. He just said, I've come to set at liberty. He rolled up the scroll, handed it to the man. Every eye in the synagogue was riveted on him. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What was he saying? He said, I just read to you about the liberator that is to come, and you're looking at me. Therefore, you are looking at the liberator. The liberator has come. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. You see, every action figure, every superhero has a label, has a name that is descriptive of who he is and what he does. Jesus, his name that describes what he does is liberator.
Young people, I can sense the energy of your involvement this morning, but I want you to think about something, church. Maybe you're not into this, but right now a big bulk of America is so into Superman and Batman and all of this. I got to thinking as I was preparing, what if the church got as into the liberator as that set is into Superman? That's made up. That's myth. That's fairy tale. Jesus is real. Oh, hallelujah. I said the liberators. How many's into the liberator? Let me hear it this morning. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? He set me free from drugs. He set me free from alcohol. He set me free from sin. Hallelujah. Let's get into the liberator. Hallelujah. The world has its terminator, but we have our liberator. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to get something straight. Spiritual freedom is not in an idea. Spiritual freedom is not in philosophy. Spiritual freedom is not in psychology. Spiritual freedom is not in therapy. Amen. Spiritual freedom is not in a drug. It's not in a lifestyle. Spiritual freedom is in a person, and you'll never know freedom, true liberty, until you meet that person, the liberator. An idea can't set you free. He can. Hallelujah. I don't know how they're still doing movies of superheroes, but often they show you the abilities of that superhero at the beginning of the movie by going from scene to scene where that superhero is helping someone in need. They're rescuing, they're freeing, they're saving. And just for the next few moments, I want us to look at our hero. I want us to watch the liberator as he has moved from scene to scene. The first scene I want to take you to is the lame man at the pool.
It was a long time case, the Bible said. He had not walked. Amen. I mean, others had help. Others had friend. But he lay there and said, I have no man. When the water is troubled, I have no man. Oh, when Jesus walked on the scene, suddenly he had his man. He had more than his man. He had his liberator. Glory to God. Jesus walked on the scene and said to the man that had not walked, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately, no hocus pocus, no trying to pull him up and say he's walking. He meant immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that man needed liberation. Why? Because when you are lame, you are bound to a small sphere of existence. You have no mobility. You can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. You can't accomplish anything. You're stuck to a place. But Jesus, the liberator, he liberated the lame from a life bound to a spot, a life bound to one place. Amen. Some folks, they're stuck in sin. They can't get out of it. Their whole existence is in the bondage of sin. They can't move out of it, move beyond it, move forward. They're stuck right there. But if you're a place where your life doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, it doesn't seem like you can go anywhere, if you're stuck there, that same liberator can come today and give legs to your soul and set you free, and you can walk out of there because he's the liberator. Amen. Lame literally means to be crippled. I want to move beyond the physical and say there are so many people today, adults, teenagers, children, that are crippled emotionally, crippled in their minds, crippled in their souls. Some lameness is congenital. Folks are born that way. But much of the crippledness, the lameness, comes from injury. And even in the church this morning, there are folks, your spirit is crippled. Your emotions are crippled. You're lame on the inside. You weren't born that way. You've been injured. You've been done wrong. And now you're stuck right where you're at in the bitterness of it all. And say, I can't leave this place. I'm lame. I've been done wrong. I've been hurt. And here I am. I'm just stuck here. I've been abused. I've been molested. And here I am. I'm stuck in this mess. No, sir, no, you're not. The liberator can walk in. Hallelujah. Put legs on your soul and you can walk out of there singing, he set me free. Hallelujah. I want to move to the next scene. The man, blind from his birth. His disciples said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God might be made manifest in him. In other words, you're fixing to see something that's going to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I want to tell you, if it's a real miracle, if it's a real supernatural touch, amen, it's not something the man behind with the microphone has to convince you of. You'll see it. You'll know that it's supernatural. And if it's really supernatural, it's not something man gets the glory for. Amen. But every heart says, he did it. Jesus did it. Hallelujah. He was born with this. But it's not because of sin. It's that the glory of God might be seen. Amen. I've not been blind. I don't know anyone closely that is blind. But can you imagine what a darkness is in someone's life physically when they're blind? And I want to tell you something. Darkness is a bondage. You don't believe that? Get in the house at night and turn out the lights, and suddenly your movement is limited and what you can do is limited. Amen. Darkness is a bondage. It's limiting. It's oppressive. It's despairing. Nothing narrows your world like blindness. blindness. And here's what concerns me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. I'm telling you, he described our world too. Everywhere you look, in your neighborhood, at work, at school, in the mall, even people are walking around blind. They don't have a cane. They don't have sunglasses on, because it's not a physical blindness. It is a spiritual blindness. Their very minds are held captive with darkness. You say, can't they see what they're doing to their lives? No, they can't see it. They're blind. Hallelujah. Look right here, young people. I want to tell you something. I've seen it so often. Young people that have known the things of God experience what they experience at youth camp. Suddenly they start making decisions and getting involved in things everybody can see. It's going to ruin them, wreck them, destroy them, take their Christian experience and make a mess of their... But you say, can't they see it? No, because the blindness has already set in. Isaiah said they grope in darkness as they blind. They stumble. That's our world. It's a blindness. Amen. They can't get relief of it. No more than this man born blind could heal his own eyes. But I want to tell you, that is their existence. They live in darkness like somebody living in a dark cave without any lights. If that's the place you find yourself in, and it's dark in your thinking, dark in your feeling, dark in your life, dark in your situation, I'm telling you, the same man that said to the one born blind, see, put this clay on your eyes, go wash. Amen. They said, what happened to you? Hallelujah. Some said, this looks like the one that's blind. Others said, well, you know, it does look like him. But he said, it is I. They said, what happened to you? He said, I met a man. He put clay on my eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. He didn't know that man's name yet. We could tell him, that man that said, put clay on your eyes, that was the liberator. And the man that had lived in darkness is suddenly seeing the blue of the sky and the green of the grass and the face of God. Hallelujah. I don't think they heard me. Never seen a thing. All of a sudden he's seeing the blue of the sky and the green of the grass. And he looked into the eyes of that Nazarene. And he looked with physical eyes into the face of God. You say that don't happen anymore. I've seen people lost in the darkness of sin, groping, can't find their way out, making a ruin and a mess of their lives. But I've seen them come to the altar. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, they're shouting, I've seen the light. I've seen the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the liberator. I'll take you to another scene. The lady at the well, she came at noon to escape the gossips of the village. Why? Because she hadn't lived a good life. She had done things to be ashamed of. Someone said, poor lady, 5 different men got rid of her. I used to think that way. Then I got to thinking, poor lady, nothing. There's got to be something wrong with a woman that 5 different men couldn't live with. I mean, that's where the problem lay. Amen. And every indication, Brother Steve, is she came at noon, not in morning and evening. She came at noon because she was filled with shame and guilt and condemnation for her life of sin. But she didn't know it. But God arranged it. That day when she got to the well, thinking nobody would be there, the liberator would be sitting on the edge of it, waiting for her to get there. You came to church this morning. Your life is a mess. You don't understand it, maybe even now. But when you walked through the doors, he was already sitting here, the liberator, waiting for you to walk in. He said to the woman, give me to drink. Amen. He said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou would have asked of him, and he would give thee living water. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have time to tell all the story. You know that story. But what I want to talk about, that woman began to say, oh, if only the Messiah were here. If only that liberator were here. He'd straighten me out. He'd straighten my thinking out. He'd straighten my life out. And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, he that's speaking to you is that Messiah, is that liberator. I don't know how fast salvation can take place, but I'm telling you, it took place awful fast in that woman's case, because the disciples are coming down the road about to get to Jesus and the woman, and Jesus said, you're looking at the Messiah. And at that moment, she dropped that water pot and went running into the village, past the elders at the gate, up to the gossips in the marketplace, and she's screaming, come see a man that told me all that I ever did wrong. I'm telling you, when you're in sin and you're bound to it, you hide it, you cover it up, you're ashamed of it. So why is this woman, who just a few minutes before was so ashamed of her sin, she snuck out of the village and snuck to the well, why is she now running through the streets and saying, you've got to meet him? He uncovered my life. He told me every bad thing I ever did. He showed me every sin, every wickedness. Why? What happened to her? I'll tell you what happened. She met the liberator. He liberated her from shame and guilt and sin. And she can run through the village and say, come see a man that told me the wrong. Why? She's liberated from shame. She's liberated from guilt. I want to tell you this morning, even you may be filled with shame and guilt and condemnation, but there is a liberator that can set you free. We're not trying to hang out dirty laundry for everybody to see, but when he really sets you free and the shame is gone and the gratitude is there, you might come running down the aisle and say, come see a man that set me free from pornography, that set me free from lust, that set me free from fornication, that set me free from my secret sin. Hallelujah! He liberated her. Liberated her. Oh, we got to move on. When the liberator came upon the scene, the woman who had come to the well thirsty, shame of guilt, she left with the shame gone and a well inside of her bubbling up. Another scene, the woman bowed down in the synagogue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of you young ladies mind to help me? Come ahead, Elizabeth. Why don't you just come up here? Just sit down there. Bow your head way over. You're probably not the best one for this illustration, because this woman had been bound this way for 18 years and you're not even 18 years old yet. But you're willing. I knew that. She came to church. I'll give her that. I mean, she had major problems. She's bowed down. But she's still coming to church. Oh, I wish. Can I be pastoral for a moment? Thank you. I'll ask a pastor. Can I be pastoral for a moment? Yes. Yeah. That's one of the major things you deal with as a pastor. When things start happening to people and heavy burdens come, they start laying out and say, I'm too discouraged to come to church. Every time you feel that way, I want you to think of the woman that's bowed over. You haven't been healed yet. I want you to think of the woman that's was bowed over 18 years, but she's still coming to church. You say 18 years, that's too long. It's fixed. It's set in concrete. Not when the liberator walks in the room. I went right over, but that man at the pool, it was a long time case. Anyone here got a long time case? 18 years bowed over. Jesus began to speak. She couldn't even tell who it was because she couldn't raise her head to look at him.
You know, there's sometimes folks do come to church. They'd like to get in. They can tell something's happening, but they can't even raise their soul even to see what's going on. Bound over. I know, folks, the burden is heavy. The bondage is there. Amen. The infirmity, 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Now, that's the next thing. Think of how that, now don't walk off the platform, but I want you to stand up now. I want you to walk like that. Bowed over more. You got to bow over. Thank you. No, that's far enough right now. Just bowed over. Can you imagine how that looked? But she heard something in his voice. You say, there's no way I can come to that altar for help. My problem's too large. People's going to know. It's going to look awful. What if they find out? Amen. She knew her condition. She knew how it must look. But the crowd didn't stop her when Jesus said, come. Here she came, all bowed over. 18 years that way. She could not straighten up. How many believes there's folks even here this morning that are bowed over? For 18 years, Sister Brock, she'd come to church this way. She'd left that way. Hallelujah. But the liberator said, come forth. He could have healed her in the seat. Oh, but he wanted her to see her exercise her faith. He can save you in the seat. He can baptize you in the seat. He can heal you back there. Maybe he will. But if you hear his voice, be unashamed. Don't let what the people think stop you. Even you come out of that pew. Hallelujah. You say, I'm still baptized. Over, yeah, but you're not to where he is. You come on. Oh, hallelujah. Turn a little bit sideways. He looked at that woman and he said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now I want you to do something. I want you to straighten up and look right at me. Hadn't been able to lift her head for 18 years. Hadn't been able to see what was going on for 18 years. But when she got liberated, the first face that she saw was the liberator's. Isn't that a way? It was that way with you. You were bound over with sin. But when he set you free, the first face that you saw was the liberator's. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. I believe he's setting someone free right now. Hallelujah. I believe there's a lot of things that may help, but it's still not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he said, that spirit is upon me to set the captive free. Just a few more scenes. Mary Magdalene, and whom were devils. I'll hurry through this. Certain women which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come seven devils. I want to tell you, I could show you pictures of slaves, even from our history, with shackles on them and ball and chains. I could show them in stocks or behind prison doors, and that would move you. Listen to me. But the worst bondage isn't something they can wrap around the body. The worst bondage is not on the outside. The worst bondage is on the inside. And it's not what is wrapped around the body. It is what is wrapped around the soul and the mind. Somebody pray in this place. The worst bondage. Sin, yes. But Mary Magdalene, she's got demons in her. This is bondage from the inside out. In fact, all spiritual bondage is from the inside. He'll get a hold of your mind inside before you become bound outwardly. Amen. A bondage from the inside. Some folks couldn't even see that. Didn't even realize
that's how bound Mary Magdalene was with those demons. If you think that's a funny thing or a humorous thing, even think of that man of Gadarenes, had so many demons, drove him out of his mind, enough demons that when they were cast into the pigs, it killed thousands of those pigs. I'm telling you, that's an awful bondage, an awful darkness. First of all, it's a wonderful thing that Jesus even knew that it was there. Men may not have been able to see the bondage, but Jesus saw it, and he spoke to those demons and said, come out of her. When the liberator came on the scene, the bondage that was on the inside had to come out. Glory to God. Your bondage isn't evident. Even your family may not see your bondage, but your mind is bound up. Your soul is bound up. Maybe there's even a demon that's got a hold of you on the inside, but he's still the liberator. And when he speaks, they leave. I said, when he speaks, they leave. Oh, hallelujah. Walmart was still up there on Salem. Went to Walmart, and there was a black gentleman coming out, pushing his cart, and he was just singing away, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, does anyone here believe he's the liberator? I want to tell you, there was no man, there was no therapy, there was no psychologist, there was no school, there was no government that could free Mary Magdalene from what was on the inside. But the liberator came on the scene. Hallelujah. Two more quickly. Lazarus in the tomb. He was dead, laid out, bound in the grave clothes. We preached about it last Sunday morning. The stone was across the entrance. But when the liberator came, he not only could liberate from sin and sickness and darkness and demons, he can liberate from death as well. You see, this Lazarus tomb is important to us, not only for what Jesus did to Lazarus, but what Jesus himself did in rising from the dead. Why? Because fear of death is a bondage. Let me read from Hebrews. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Mary and Martha saw death come in that room, and as it was coming in, they were fearful of that death that took Lazarus. There's a sense before our faith kicks in, every one of us are afraid of death. But for centuries, every culture, every nation of people were in bondage to the fear of death. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he not only liberated Lazarus from the tomb, but he liberated us from the fear of death. Because if he can call Lazarus forth, he can call us forth too. And one day he will. You talk about the liberator. He's coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to liberate every believer from sea, from tomb, from mausoleum. Hallelujah. He's going to liberate them from death. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows that's a wonderful hope that we have? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Lazarus, you're laid out. The tomb is shut. I want to tell you, some people have a marriage that's already been laid out in the tomb. Some folks have a dream that's already laid out in the tomb. Some folks have a future, a hope that's already laid out in the tomb. But you let the liberator come upon the scene. Hell, he'll bring that out of the tomb. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Lazarus bound by death. But the liberator comes. He has been shut into the tomb. And now he's walking around. He's hugging family. He's shaking hands. He's speaking words. He's very much alive. And the bondage, the grave clothes, the face napkin, they're all gone. He's a free man. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something else. One day there's no tomb, there's no grave that's going to be able to hold the people of God back. When Jesus says, come forth, when the liberator speaks, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them. Can we do one more scene, Pastor? Yes.
lepers cast out of town. For some of them, for years, they had been the outcast of society, not allowed to go to the temple, not allowed to go home, not allowed to go to the park, not allowed to go to the marketplace. They had leprosy. Mark says a leper came to him, said, "If you will, Lord, you can make me clean." He just didn't know how willing. Verse 41. This is one of my favorite verses in all of the life of Christ. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. A man you weren't to touch. A man that was unclean. A man that nobody else, even his family, would touch. But Jesus touched him. Brother Rose, that man may not have been touched with a human touch for decades, but the first touch in decades was the touch of the liberator. You see, nobody else would touch him because they were afraid his uncleanness would come to them. But Jesus can touch him, because the uncleanness ain't going to come to Jesus. The cleanness is going to go to the leper. How many remembers when he touched you and the uncleanness left? You got a situation. You think, if my family knew, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. You got a situation, something hidden that's so dark. Why don't you just come to him and say, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." You know what he's going to say? He's not going to say, "I don't will. I don't want to help you." He's going to say, "Oh, I will." And then you're going to experience his touch. The liberator touched him. And as soon as he spoken, "I will be thou clean," immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Lepers were restricted to a certain area of town, away from people. They were avoided. They were outcast, isolated, and lonely. Sometimes even surrounded by family. There are folks here, you feel so lonely. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You feel so isolated in your problems. Lonely. Other people are joining groups, having a good time. But your problem's so heavy. You're isolated, even in a crowd. But I want you to know, when the liberator came on the scene, the leper who had been isolated, had had no relationship with this family, had been unable to go to church, now the leper is cleansed. I think the first place he went was home and hugged his wife and hugged his children. Have you ever noticed how that works? I've seen a dad get saved, and the first thing he wants to do is he wants to hug his wife and his kids. Why? The leprosy's gone. He hadn't been able to hug him. Maybe he should have been hugging him, but something in his heart kept him from hugging. But you know where I think the next place he went? It was went to the temple with an offering of thanksgiving and praise. Why? How that all happened? How the outcasts become back involved in his family and church? Because the liberator had come. Would you come, music? I want to emphasize before I quit, Jesus is a liberator. He'll liberate you from the sin that's eating away at your soul. He will liberate you from the fear that's been paralyzing you. He will liberate, I believe this, listen to me. He will liberate you from the bitterness that has been corroding your insides. He will liberate you from the failure that has kept you from trying again. He will liberate you from the addiction that tortures you and binds you. And I want to remind you this morning, freedom is not a 12-step program. Freedom is not a patch. Freedom is not an escape to another state, a wonderland. Freedom comes from an encounter with a person, the liberator, Jesus. That's where your freedom is. A superhero has a costume. He has a mask. He has a color. He has a characteristic that makes him immediately identified
identifiable as that superhero. Well, Jesus has his mark that identifies him as the liberator. It's not a cape. It's not a color. What is Jesus' mark that distinguishes him as the liberator? He had opened his hands to Thomas and said, here it is. Here is proof that I'm the liberator. He opened his hands and there were the scars of the nails, and around his brow was whole scars of the crown of thorns. How do you know he's the liberator? He's the one with the scars. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, those nail scarred hands can reach way down in the pit of sin and lift up. Those nail scarred hands can heal. Those nail scarred hands can point and the demons leave. Those nail scarred hands can touch the eyes of your heart and you can leave here saying, I see, I see, I see.
A while back I saw a film. I believe it was a horse had got entangled in a barbed wire fence, and the owner and different people immediately, as the horse was screaming in pain, fear, immediately people gathered around the horse and were trying to help it get loose. But because it was in pain and because it was bound there, when those that came to help tried to help, it fought and struggled against them and only hurt itself more and entangled itself more in the fence. And I know we're not animals, but I've seen the same thing in people. They're so bound, and what they're bound in is hurting them and destroy them. But let Jesus, let the preacher, let somebody that cares try to help them. And you know what they do? They pull back and they struggle and only hurt themselves more and entangle themselves more. I have one word of advice for opening these altars. You're bound. It's hurting you. When the liberator comes, don't shy away from him. Don't pull back. Don't struggle against the Holy Spirit that would speak to you. Realize the liberator has come to set you free, and let him do it. Would you stand? Let's worship him. If you're thankful for the liberator, lift your heart and hands and worship him. Would you worship him? Spirit of God, go beyond the words. Spirit of God, go beyond the words. Spirit of God, go beyond the words. Touch to the heart. There's nothing more to be said. If you're here this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that bondage. You need liberated from something. No one's here to condemn. I want you to come right now and stand in the front right now. You need liberated from something. Would you come right now? Right now, would you come? Others, are you going to come? You need to be liberated. Amen. Would you come and stand? We're going to have folks pray with you. Others, you need liberated. You need liberated. Hallelujah. You need set free. Look at the honest hearts that's coming. Are there others? You need liberated. You need liberated. I want you to come right now. Move clear up to the front step here so folks can get behind you. You need liberator. You need liberated. Are there others? Oh, come on. Come on, church. Come on, young person. You're not going to free yourself. You listen to me. You will not free yourself. Hear me. Hear me. You will not free yourself. You can't free yourself. Are you hearing me? You haven't come yet, but I want you to know, so you can't free yourself. You've got to have help. You've got to have help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else you'd like to come right now? You need to be set free. Come on. I can't even set you free. The pastor can't. But I'm telling you, the liberator's here. Hallelujah. I want some of the saints of God to come. Begin to pray for these. Make sure everybody is prayed with. Come on. All across the front here, from over on the men's side, over on the ladies' side. Amen. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, move in as close as you can so folks can pray with you. Hallelujah. Lay hands on them. Some of you want to come up on the platform so you can get to folks and pray with them. You do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. The liberator is here. He'll open the prison door. He'll set the captive free. Hallelujah.
He said he'd liberate those that are bruised, that are battered, that are hurting, that are confused. He'll liberate those that feel lonely. Hallelujah. Come on, make sure everyone's prayed with. Come on. Hallelujah. The liberator is here. The liberator is here.
No shadow darkens.
In the name of Jesus.
No night is black enough. No road is lost enough that he can't find.
Come on, let's pray the prayer of liberty.
The Son has set us free.
My chains are gone. Come on, the liberator's here. He said, I've come for one purpose. I've come for one reason. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to deliver them who through fear of death were made subject to bondage all their lives. You might have been in bondage all your life, but he can liberate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
No pain is deep enough, no heart could bleed enough, nothing but Jesus' love.
Come on, come on.
Love can make a way, and if the sun has set us free, then we must be free indeed. Let the chains fall away, starting today.
The liberator is here. Just look at the nail-scarred hands. He'll place them on your life. He'll place them on your body.
No chain is strong enough. No choice is wrong enough. No mountain high enough that he can't climb. No shadow dark enough. No night
praise
is black enough.
Lord.
No road is long enough that he can't find.
Let Jesus set you
free.
Let Jesus set you free.
Then we must be free indeed. Could bleed enough. Nothing.